Today's gospel lesson is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. We spoke last week about the Beatitudes, and this is the very next section as you see the Beatitudes expanded upon. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden, and no one after lighting a lamp puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Well, gracious God, may we hear your call to be salt, to be light in these words of Scripture, and may we live them in our lives. Amen. Light arrives on day one of creation. Light comes with the dawn of each new day. Light led the faithful through the wilderness. Thus God was their light and salvation. Light was Israel's calling as God's representative people on earth, a light to the nations. Light revealed the empty tomb, the gift of hope, the dawning light of a new creation. Thus, Jesus naming us, his disciples, light, has a deep history. For those of us whose life and faith is informed, not confined or limited, but informed by the biblical story, we need to reach into that deep history and hear anew a word about what it means to be human. Just as light arrived on day one of that first Genesis story of creation, humans arrive on day six, and it is described in words with which you are familiar. So God created humankind in God's own image. In the image of God, God created them. You know, so that you don't miss it, this verse twice repeats that humans are made in the image of God. Now, the Hebrew word for image is tselem. And the Greek word for salam is icon. You know, humans, as images of God, are thus living icons. Human purpose, human value, is not rooted in being soldiers, citizens, workers, thinkers, consumers, or voters, but as representatives of God, icons. Humans are those in whom others can see God and the intended way of God. You know, this belief, and that's what it is, it's a declaration of faith that we are icons, God images, was and continues to be a challenge to those who would turn any human into anything less. You know, while Jefferson may not have been an orthodox Christian, he borrowed heavily from this declaration of faith for our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with an inherent and inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are icons. You know, again and again, that humans are icons, nothing more, nothing less, has proven to be a corrective and a hard lesson to learn and live. You know, whether it's been the civil rights movement, the recognition of women, the embrace of people who are LGBTQ, or the inclusion of immigrants, or people of differing faiths, we have seen the challenge of being icons and of all humans being seen as icons in every generation. As we've seen from the actions of this past week, vigilance matters. As fear blinds people from seeing God's image in the face of others. Thus, when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," it is a weighty matter. It's another way of reminding us who we are as humans and disciples. You know, you are an icon, one in whom others see God and the ways of God. You know, Jesus has just finished speaking the words that we know as the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, these eight Beatitudes are all in the third person. You know, those who are. Blessed are those. But then there's a ninth Beatitude that moves into the second person. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you on my account. The lesson this week, you are salt, you are light, continues this second person language. You know, when you are persecuted, reviled, slandered, rejoice and be glad. It is verification that you are salt and light, the icon that you were created to be. Your calling as human, an image of God, an icon, a disciple, sets you out front, makes you visible. Being an icon is not necessarily something you choose. It simply is. To be human is to be an icon. Discipleship now is an intensification as you chose to follow the way of Jesus, and thus your visibility is heightened. You know, this is the danger of wearing a God is still speaking t-shirt or putting "to believe is to care is to do," you know, bumper sticker on your car. Someone may expect you to be as good as your bumper sticker. Light and salt are great metaphors because they do not stand separate from the mix, but are active ingredients. You know, once you've put salt on your food, you can't take it out. With increased visibility comes increased vulnerability. Putting a light under a bushel basket reduces the chance that it will be blown out. But the price for such protection is darkness. It's not the purpose. The way of Jesus is mission. You know, a benevolent intrusion into the world. Rather than hide from the world, we're to let our light shine in the hopeful trust that the praise of God will be increased. You know, by sharing your water, your well for coffee, flushing, and showers, calling on neighbors, serving food at the kitchen, building schools in Africa, being a grace-filled driver in your bumper-stickered car, you are a benevolent intrusion into the world that too often does not see humans as the icons, the God-bearers that they are. You know, you notice that Isaiah does not argue against fasting. He argues that the purpose is not in the act itself, but that it signifies a change, that you reject the vision that allows the hungry to continue to be hungry as if they were not icons, you know, bearers of God's image. It signifies a healing, that you now live by a vision that shares bread, that clothes the naked, that recognizes others as sister and brother icons, God-bearers. Is not this the fast I choose, God says to the sackcloth and ash crowd? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. You know, one of the hardest lessons we learn and relearn and relearn is that we cannot serve God without serving our neighbor, an icon who bears God's image. You know, we may hope that taking care of our own and ourselves is God's first priority. You know, make heaven great again. But that faith can be a private matter. You know, God expects us to be salt and light, examples of another vision of living, a public vision, visible. You know, today you have several opportunities to demonstrate zest and visibility about a life-giving vision for this earth. You know, faith may be heaven-sent and heaven-bound, but it is practiced on earth as it is in heaven. You know, one is to be visible in your support of the IFC and addressing hunger in our community. You know, there will be youth in the narthex with soup pots ready for gifts for the Super Bowl Sunday. Additionally, at 10, the congregation will be asked to receive and to commit to a strategic plan that continues much that animates our life together, and to further commit to an intentional inclusivity and a deepening of our life together. After the 11 o'clock service, people are asked to stay and share why they marched at one of the women's marches in Raleigh, Hillsboro, Tucson, Washington. I've heard from a number of people that were in different places. And to find others to join with for next Saturday's march in Raleigh. And after 11, people are also asked to make name tags to be in solidarity with all immigrants. You know, for example, one of my forebears is Henri Cabanis, a French Huguenot, persecuted religious minority who left France for Switzerland, Switzerland for Rotterdam, Rotterdam to London, and landed in Jamestown in 1770. Other forebears we cannot find. You know, as Martin Luther King Jr. has said, we may not have all come on the same boat or the same ship, but we're all in the same boat now. Super Bowl gifts, strategic plan, why we march, moral march, solidarity with immigrants are all opportunities to be salt and light, to proclaim and live your faith that each of us is an icon, a bearer of God's image. You know, in a book about churches in transition, the author Alice Mann observes that 20% of congregations are outwardly focused, 40% are interested in new members, and 40% are focused in on their members. But she says the irony is that churches that are outwardly focused, both in service and in invitation, are the ones that have the healthiest and fullest internal life. You know, perhaps that's a foretaste of eternal life, you know, because they have a mission. They have a purpose. There was a time when the Torah was referred to as salt, a life-giving covenant. And here in this reference, Jesus is calling us disciples salt, a life-giving covenant. And we're to be light. You know, look at what Isaiah says to the people 600 years before Jesus. When the hungry have bread, the homeless have homes, the naked have something to cover their shame, when you're not hiding from your brother or sister, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and God will say, "Here I am." If you're here seeking a glimpse of God and healing for our public life, serve your neighbor. Reach out to the least of our brothers and sisters, fellow icons. Call them by name. You are salt. You are light. And God will say, "Here I am." May it be so. Amen.